Did you know as a sign of respect, you're supposed to let a werewolf sniff your hand before starting a conversation?
That's the smell.
Record City, a cinematic supermarket of song with a lot of strange folks to help you along.
Home on a cold dark night. If you should meet him, he would give you a fright. He's got no conscience, just pain and spite. It's not wrong, he thinks it's right. He's the Undertaker. He's the Undertaker. He's the Undertaker. He's the Undertaker.
Okay, son, now there's going to be some scary monsters and some creepy people putting their hands on you. But you should be able to handle it because you're like, 1.5.
Yeah, you're 1 now. It's time you start pulling your weight around here.
The brains.
Believe in the boogeyman. Remark
Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
A secret laboratory, illegal experiments, and they finally found a new way for you to die.
Fiends, welcome. welcome to Rumorn Radio. Welcome, my little radio rats. Thanks for tuning in to the world's original all-horror broadcast. With me, your host, here as always, you know me.
Morticia, he's here!
I'm the ghost host with the most. Ooh yeah, it's me, Tomb Dragomir.
Kids had like their Mickey Mantles and their, you know, Babe Ruth heroes. Mine was Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, and it's just, I was always the weird kid on the block.
This week on the broadcast.
Ech.
Ech? What do you see, Uncle Fester?
An incredible monster with beady little eyes and a forehead like a gorilla.
Our blood-spattered guy dances to the tune of the new Addams Family musical.
You're looking at your own reflection, Fester.
And the caustic critics ooze all over the incredible melting man.
The incredible melting man. Hero astronaut Stephen West returns from outer space. His body is melting. He must get human cells. He is the incredible melting man.
Ah! You cursed brat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting!
Tons of terror tunage to this week. Fiends, it's Alice Cooper, El Dorado in the Ruckus, Groovy Ghoulies, Mastodon, plus tons more fun to come on your home for horror, rot and roll, Rumorg Radio. Let's go, new music from Creature Feature. From It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, it's Mommy's Little Monsters on Rumorg Radio. Let's start the show. Let's go!
Business. Hell, I'll possess myself if I gotta. Whoa! Yo! I got demons! demons running all through me. All through me. Come on down here and see it. And hey, be back now. You get a free demon possession with every exorcism. Now, you can't beat that, can you? And bring a little parts down here. Hell, we got plenty of snakes and lizards for him to play with. There's no problem with that at all. So, see it once. See it twice. Third time's a charm. And remember, I'll eat anything you want me to eat. I'll swallow anything you want me to swallow. So come on down now. Chew on a dog. Oh!
Myself a little rumor that if you say Shannon Juice three times, a little leprechaun appears and tells you all the latest horror news. Let's give it a shot. Shannon Juice, Shannon Juice, Shannon Juice. Oh, hey, Shannon, what's happening?
Get ready to look for Tomb on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Why not, right? Full of hot air, big head. Of course he's going to be one of the parade balloons. Hey, everyone, I'm Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. The Paris International Fantastic Film Festival is November 23rd to the 27th. See advanced screenings of Sleep Tight, Joseph Kahn's Detention, A Lonely Place to Die, Masks, The Dead, and a lot more. For a whole list of events, films, and info, go to PIFFF.fr. The fourth annual International Festival of Radio Horror Plays is December 5th at 8 p.m. There's a collection of spine-tingling audio nightmares that'll be presented at the historic Main Stage Theater on Morris Avenue in Chicago. $25 is your admission. And on Friday, December 23rd, it's Macabre's Holiday of Horror at Reggie's in New Hampshire. Macabre will be performing along with special guests Yakuza, November's Doom, and Primal Lore. Get your advance tickets at Ticketweb for $12. And if you know something happening and you want the whole world to know about it, send me an email, Shannon at RoomWorkRadio.com.
Macy's, yeah, hot air, big head, yeah. Funny girl, Shannon, yeah. See you next week, or will we?
Well, even if you don't want me back, I really couldn't care less. I'm coming back.
Fair enough. Come in.
Freeze!
What's with the guns?
Just back it up against the wall. You heard him, back it up!
The hell?
Make us put some paint on you.
Pain? How dare you use that word?
He's got pins in his head.
What you think of as pain is only a shadow. Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you, gentlemen. I am...
Undead, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladoussard, your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
Cemetery Kid to Happy Joe, I want you to say hello to my mother.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, Happy Joe.
Do you like graveyards? Haunted mansions? Of course you do. What about torture scenes? Children who play with poisonous things? Vamps? And zombie butlers? Well, then you might also, like me, be a fan of the Addams Family. But do you also like singing and dancing? Then you should know there's an Addams Family musical on tour right now. It is a Broadway show that left New York and is traveling around North America. Right now it is in Toronto.
Because Toronto's where it's happening, man. The music, the film industry, the arts.
I had a chance with some of the Rue crew to attend the opening night performance at the North York Center for the Performing Arts up in the hinterlands of North Toronto. And if you are into musical theater, this might be the family night out for you. Now, the caveat, of course, it is a musical. No matter how much you adore Morticia Addams, if you thought The Nightmare Before Christmas had too much singing, you may not enjoy this. But if you're open, there is a lot to enjoy for fans of the Addams Family and the macabre. It is very much based upon the original Charles Addams cartoon strip from the 1930s. In fact, the Addams Family Foundation insisted that the Broadway show producers base it on the comic strip and not the television or movies that we're more familiar with. So you'll find that, say, Morticia Addams is a lot like the drawn cartoon character, much more so than the women we've seen on the screen. She also has incredibly large... She's bodacious, so if you're taking the family for a night out, there's boobs for you.
Boobies! Boobies!
Yeah.
The plot is rather simple. Wednesday Addams has grown up. She is in love with a normal boy, and his family is coming to dinner.
You're right.
So, you have these two families from different worlds at the Addams Family Mansion. Hilarity ensues. This is actually my main problem with the production. Wednesday not having braids. Wednesday being in love with the boy that looks like Edward. Cartoons really shouldn't age. You shouldn't mess around with them. It's like the Muppet Babies.
Is everything all right in here?
Yes, ma'am.
It's just wrong. But if you can get over that and the fact that all the songs that Wednesday sings are very pop and annoying, you will find a very gothic presentation. The costumes, the sets, the Addams Family ancestors are the chorus of the musical. So you have these very ghastly creatures appearing throughout the production, including from the very opening scene, which is a big song and dance number in a graveyard about being an Addams. It's very funny, and a lot of the jokes come from the Addams Family sort of backstory. Morticia Addams still cuts the heads off roses, and Gomez Addams still gets excited when she speaks French.
Tish, that's French. I wish you'd said that.
Trivia now, darling. Je ne sais quoi later.
You said it.
There is a monster that makes a special appearance at one point. So does a cousin It.
Just what to say to a woman.
And the thing, Uncle Fester really steals the show. He is the MC, gives it a very vaudevillian tone.
Uncle Fester does have an inner magnetism.
Yes, he does have a certain je ne sais quoi.
There is a lot of singing, of course, and that is maybe one of the other problems. The songs aren't that strong.
Death is just around the corner, waiting patiently to strike. One unplanned electrocution. That's the kind of end I can comprehend when I'm feeling uninspired or I need a little spree. I'm reborn knowing death is just around the corner coming after me. Get it? Coroner, death is just around the
coroner.
You don't come out of the play singing things that you've heard. In fact, you come out humming and singing the Addams Family theme song from the TV show.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
All in all, I really did enjoy the show. I don't see a lot of musical theater. I do like singing and dancing, though, and this was a chance to get that experience wrapped up in, like, a hobble skirt and pinstripes and, like I said, a haunted mansion and all kinds of macabre gothic trappings. So I do recommend it. It is playing in Toronto until November 27.
That was yesterday. What about tomorrow?
Well, darling, don't let's ask for the stars. When we have this big love-struck moon.
I don't think it can get extended because they have tour dates all across America from December through to next July. So if you live in Buffalo, Chicago, Houston, Tulsa, Oklahoma, pretty much most large cities in America, you'll have a chance to see the Addams Family musical. It's even going to Brazil and to Australia after that. So we're going to play a track from the Broadway cast recording. This is the Addams Family musical cast on Rumorg Radio.
Ah, the intoxicating spell of the graveyard. Once a year, when the last leaf of autumn falls, we gather to honor the great cycle of life and death. Come, every member of our clan, living, dead, and undecided, and let us celebrate what it is to be an Addams. When you're an Addams, you need to have a little moonlight. When you're an Addams, you need to feel a little chill. You have to see the world in shades of gray. You have to put some poison in your day.
That's the way when you're an Addams.
You need to have a sense of humor. When you're an Addams,
you need to have a taste for death.
Cares about the world outside and what it wants from you. When you're an Addams, you do what Addams always do. When you're an Addams, you gotta have a lot of passion. When you're an Addams,
you need to really love your wife
several times a day.
You're happy when your toes are in the mud. You smile a bit the moment you smell blood.
When you're an Addams,
you need to grab a bow and arrow.
When you're an Addams,
you need a moment to explode.
Just pour a potion,
flip the switch,
and wait till things get hot.
When you're an Addams, you have to really stir the pot.
So keep your sunshine and keep your glee.
Country music in Tennessee.
Keep your laughter
and MTV.
And all will be alright. Give us shadows and give us gloom. Broken glass in a motel room. Something fun we can all assume. And give it all tonight.
And on this special night beneath our family tree, we summon our beloved ancestors.
From whatever cult now to reappear.
Every cadaver start the palaver once in an Addams sphere.
Halt your decaying gear. What we're saying, time now to give a cheer.
Line dance!
Thank you.
Mastodon. Creature lives.
Primitive river bottom wilderness in southern Arkansas, along with deer, duck, crane, and beaver, lurks a creature that walks upright. Whether it is a man, a monster, or a myth, no one really knows. What we do know is the people around Falk, Arkansas, say they have seen such a creature nearly 250 times since 1954. And that this creature, whatever it is, emits one of the most terrifying sounds ever recorded.
I saw the creature fall into the swamp from which he spawned. They never liked him
Creature Lives from the Hunter. That's correct, sir. We've got Alice Cooper coming up, the Caustic Critics, too, so stick around. Here's Orgasmo Sonore covering Fabio Frizzè, La Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
They live on flesh.
flesh and subsist on blood. They're hundreds of years old and look decayed. They rise at night and can't be stopped. They're the walking dead who were never buried. And they're coming your way now in Horror of the Zombies. It's all new chills and a shocking and ghastly nightmare of gruesome terror. Horror of the Zombies.
I'm nuclear infected. this is Rick Baker, Monster Maker, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Rick Baker's creatures for The Exorcist, King Kong, and Star Wars are the height of motion picture magic and mystery. Now Baker has created the first new horror creature, the incredible Melting Man. Hero astronaut Stephen West returns from outer space. His body is melting. He must get human cells. He is the incredible Melting Man. Come prepared. Rated R.
The Caustic Critic.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
The stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critic.
They're here.
All right, this is Feedback.
And this is the incredible Melting Lance.
And this week, we're reviewing a film that makes a nice companion piece to the last film that we reviewed. Remember, we reviewed the 1957 sci-fi horror masterpiece, The Incredible Shrinking Man, last time?
I do not remember that, sir.
Well, that's what we did, Dean.
Okay.
I know you lead such an exciting life, what with all your frozen animals and such.
No, when I leave here, I just want to erase the whole fucking memory from my head.
All right. Well, that's what we did last time.
Okay.
Incredible Shrinking Man.
Gotcha.
A.K.A. Lance's sex life.
Oh.
Boom. Roasted.
This week.
It was cold.
Fast forward 20 years, and we have The Incredible Melting Man.
How far we've come.
So I got to tell you, this is from 1977, this movie.
That's right. Same year as Star Wars.
Directed by William Sachs.
Never heard of him.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, this is a movie that haunted me as a child, even though I never saw it until I was in my 20s.
Oh, I can't believe you said that. Same
Why?
Here,
well,
man.
Tell me your story.
Okay, believe it or not, back in the 70s, I was a real nerd.
Oh, really?
I was a real science fiction geek.
I can't picture you as one. But.
So I used to read Starlog magazine all the time, and it used to have pictures in there, full-color pictures of this guy melting, and it scared the crap out of me.
Well, let's hold that thought for a minute. My childhood. 1977, this movie came to our local theater, and one of the parents on the street took a whole bunch of the kids to a matinee screening of this.
Is that the parent that was later found to be
Well, it's a pretty suspicious choice of movie to take a bunch of kids, but there were ads running on TV, and all the kids were completely juiced into this movie. Unfortunately, I couldn't go.
You're not going to that film, Stuart. You gotta stay here and do your chores.
I think we were visiting my nan or something.
Oh, my God.
So I couldn't go.
There's a cricket match on the telly.
I can really relate to that.
So on the Monday, all the talk was about The Incredible Melting Man. And people were asking, you know, kids were asking each other, did you see it? Did you see it? You know, and unfortunately, I couldn't. So I was devastated.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was really, I really wanted to see this movie.
I'm sure that that has shaped you into the bitter, twisted fuck that you are today.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you want to give a synopsis?
Okay. An astronaut returning from a mission to Saturn's rings comes back to Earth only to discover that he is melting. End of story.
Well, you're leaving out pertinent details, such as that the radiation from Saturn's rings has somehow turned him into a flesh-eating ghoul.
Well, what do you think? Don't quote me, but this wasn't any animal.
And, that's not all. It gets worse.
Great.
Now, it's not enough to harm us, Ted. But the radiation is not our real problem. We don't even know whether it's contagious or not.
I find that this is interesting, that it wasn't that long ago that we were able to discover that Saturn's rings were actually just, like, made up of rings of rocks and asteroids and stuff, and not really rings at all. So back then, they kind of figured, I guess, they'd be able to fly through those rings, where now we know it would be absolutely impossible. But that was the 70s, and people had mustaches and got upset about not having crackers.
And of course you're referring to one of the greatest scenes in the film.
If not the greatest scene.
The greatest scene in the movie is he stops everything to complain about the fact that his wife never picked up crackers for his soup.
As he's in mid-story of telling her about the astronaut that has disappeared and has escaped and everything.
Yeah, they're in the middle of a crisis, and he's like, so is this for real? There's no crackers?
And then she says, well, you know, there's a pad of paper next to the phone. You could have written it down there.
It's great, you know.
Steve escaped.
Oh, God. What are you going to do?
Did you get some crackers? I told you yesterday that we needed some crackers.
Oh, I forgot. I knew there was something. You know, there's a pad right by the phone. No, you could write it down, too. Ted, what about Steve?
So, we don't have any crackers?
Ted, Steve.
Steve? I've got to go out and find Steve.
Why you?
Because nobody else is supposed to know. Not even you, so please don't forget that fact when the general gets here. That's all I'd need.
How are you going to find him?
I can use the Geiger counter. I can follow his trail with it.
Geiger counter? You mean he's radioactive?
Just a little bit.
Just a little?
Let's be honest, this is not a masterpiece, but it does have its charms, and there's a few things that really redeem this movie. One, the script. It's very playful. It's very fun. There's a lot of interesting supporting actors who are clearly hamming it up to great effect.
Oh my God, yeah.
Secondly, the actor, Baird Benning, who plays Dr. Ted Nelson, the main guy who's hunting for this flesh-eating astronaut, and he's been on every TV show conceivable in the 70s and 80s.
I think
80s.
I remember him from like the Love Boat and things like that.
He was
that.
On everything. Okay. Columbo, Chips. Falcon Crest, wow. Knots Landing, you name it. If there was a TV show on somewhere, he was in it. Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, yeah. And he seemed to act better on TV than he did
on
the
big
screen.
No, he was great in this. He made the movie for me.
Because he was doing that kind of Adam West Batman kind of thing.
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny. The yolk's on them, it's laughing gas.
And the single most important thing that makes this movie work are Rick Baker's disgusting, abject, melting man effects.
But that's actually where it ends. It's only his melting man effects, because there is a scene where he decapitates this guy who's fly fishing for trout in the smallest,
like the puddle of like a tire track.
and well, he decapitates him, and his head floats downstream and eventually falls off a tiny little waterfall and cracks open like a coconut. And that sucks.
You weren't convinced?
No.
It's awful.
Come on, let's play down by the waterfall. Come on.
The melting man himself, just gruesome.
Amazing.
And gory. And stands
disgusting.
Up to today.
That's
yeah.
what I mean. It's disgusting. So I wasn't disappointed when I finally saw the film. In terms of how disgusting it really is.
Yeah, that poor guy who must have been in that outfit. He had one line in the whole movie.
Well, that's the thing. I'm thinking, like, that guy is probably one of the worst actors I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
And he has one line, and his line is something like, "It's magnificent. You've never seen anything until you've seen the sun through the rings of Saturn." And it's got to be one of the worst line readings in the history of films. It's unbelievable. And they play it twice in the movie.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how many takes it took them just to get that one.
As acceptable as they managed to get it, you know.
Houston calling Scorpio 5. Steve, do you read me? Steve? Steve, are you all right?
Communications back. I read you. Magnificent. You've never seen anything until you've seen the sun through the rings of Saturn.
But I still think, you know, overall, it was a great throwback to our youth, and I'm glad to see it's out on DVD, because it's a movie that I will add to my collection for sure, and hopefully it'll get some people looking at it. I'd love to see it remade.
Like, well,
I think
I'm thinking
it'd be
that
great
too.
To
it
have
could
it
be
remade.
A good remake, you know, especially if a team of practical makeup effects artists could really go to town on the idea and really melt him down over time.
Yeah. And then maybe if they could flesh out the script a little bit better.
Oh.
I had to.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Captain Description.
The script's great. That's not the problem.
Okay, yeah, it's a interesting script, to say the least, but it wouldn't stand up to today's nitpickery.
Are you kidding?
Well, no, I did see Red Riding Hood, so you're right.
You did see the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Oh, I love that movie, though.
Yeah.
That's a point of contention between the two of us.
And you thought that was a good script that really withholds.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
All right.
If looks could kill.
I'll blame it on the dots.
Oh, the lack thereof.
No, the fact that you probably were on a sugar high, delirious, in a fit of diabetic rage.
I went to see a doctor. And I think the most important thing he said to me was, Wilford, I'm going to give you diabetes. Wilford, if you want to get type 2 adult onset diabetes, I'm going to give you type 2 adult onset diabetes. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the way it's been.
All right, The Incredible Melting Man, out now on DVD via MGM in a thing called a limited edition collection.
Ooh.
I guess it's a sort of imprint that they've got going on.
Unfortunately, it's a bare-bones release, so the only thing you're going to get on this is a trailer. My feeling is that someone just kind of tripped over this in the MGM vault and was like, oh, hey, we can make a quick buck on this.
Exactly. That's the MGM way.
Are they still around?
I just had an idea.
What's that?
It's not the most original idea.
You never have original ideas.
You know how every Tom, Dick, and Harry does fan commentaries?
Oh, yeah.
Every arsehole with an internet connection has done a fan commentary.
I know where this is going. Okay.
Right? We should do one for this.
I think we should. I think that people will demand it.
Well, put it this way. If people do demand it, we'll do it.
Yes, okay.
If enough people demand it.
Will we get paid for it?
Think of it as a labor of love.
Oh, I like love labor. Okay, let's do it.
Only if people demand in numbers.
Yeah, there has to be numbers. Or baked goods. You know, something I was thinking was that I remember reading when I was a kid in that Starlog magazine of yesteryear that he had to eat human flesh in order to survive. And actually, the back of the DVD says the same thing.
His body is melting. He must get human cells.
But they never bring that up once in the movie.
They don't.
See, are the sure scientists. About that? Yeah, the scientists.
They never figure that out.
No, the scientist never says, oh, I get it. He has to eat people.
You know what they do figure out?
What?
And it's one of the greatest lines in the film.
Oh, yes, I know what you're going to say. The more
It says, he seems to be getting stronger the more he melts.
I don't know what I'm basing that on.
He's basing that on nothing. There's nothing he did to demonstrate that he is now stronger than he was 5 minutes earlier.
It's incredible. He seems to be getting stronger as he melts. We gotta get him. I've got to find out why.
Yeah.
He's deduced it. Oh, it makes sense. The more flesh that sort of falls off his bones, the more he loses a limb or an eyeball
or an ear
or a bicep or a tricep.
Or
of course,
groin.
He gets stronger. Who wouldn't?
Well, see, that's
why. Who wouldn't?
That's why he's a scientist and we aren't. Because we don't deduce like that. We use logic.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
Have a good day.
Shoes off and make yourself comfortable. The weather's mid- show, my fiends. Thanks for tuning in. It means a lot. It really does. But now it's time to go. Oh, no. Shut up, you stupid kids. How'd you get in here anyway? Go back to your parents. Check out Tomb TV episode 14 now, infecting ears and eyeballs at YouTube.com/TombDragomir. Walk like a zombie. It's the infection of the year. Do we have time for one more tomb tune? Well, I guess yes we do. No room to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's Eldorado and Ruckus as we say goodbye. Until forever or never, whichever comes first. Adios, my friends. Adios.
Talking about Randy?
We have to stop pretending. The guys won't be coming back. They're dead.
Dead? You're crazy.
They're dead, and the van is gone, and we have no way out of here.
Not true. Van's back. It's right out in front.
Can't be.
Look, Bill and everybody's around here somewhere. Don't worry, for crying out loud.
You haven't been listening to me. I told you they were dead, and so am I.
Nice effect, Randy. I like that look.
Come on, mortal. I have put up with you long enough. Prepare to die.
Hey, Hoser.
What?
Say a good day. Go. What are you laughing at? It's party time. Go.
So is this for real? There's no crackers?
Well, you know, there's a pad of paper next to the phone. You could have written it down there.
It's great, you know.
Damn right.